I'm going to tell everybody in school, if you want to see my dad on YouTube, you say on it, the tape never lies.
Dropping science on his terms. TT and Nell giving bears press like a perm. Other networks are soft with the heads. Stats plus film equals football cred. Analysis, like data Ted tries to shred. McCassie's letting me cake, we keep the 100 crew fed. Cars keys, let's get it started up. Give me the car keys. Lakeshore Drive, blog boys drive away with our texts like car thieves. Break down, we study tape and thrive. Lord Hines in his car, fill up a goblet.
Breaking news. The Tape Never Lies Network. Breaking news.
Somebody got paid today. Jalen Johnson. He got that bag. There was lawyers everywhere. Everybody was busy with lawyers today. Not just Jalen. But what do we know? Jalen Johnson paid 4 years. Cars Keys is back. Little pop, pop. Break the news. Let me get my guy out here. There he is.
What's up? Ironically, you're like, let's do a pop-up show. And 45 minutes later, Jalen Johnson signs an extension. So I think you get full credit for that.
It's our sources, Cars. Let's be honest. We're amazing at what we do. I'm from Boston. You're from Maine. We're Bears fans.
You know, Maine. I thought I was from hell, but that also works. So,
well, just as long as you're not at Topgolf in Naperville.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, that's Maisie just popping caps in people's asses. So we'll deal with that later.
Don't fuck with Maisie. That's for sure. But big day today, man. I was glad to see the news come across. I was more skeptical than anybody last year talking about Jalen. I thought that he was a guy that was just going to, you know, worried about one thing and one thing only. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to ball production, especially in this defense with this coach. He went out there. He balled out. He actually should have had more picks than he ended up with for the season. 24 years old. Cars, I think it falls right in line. I was pleasantly surprised to see it come in under 20 per. I didn't really expect it to be there. But I think we're gonna have a very good weekend. maybe there'll be some more news coming up too.
I mean, to your point, I think we both had said you need to get the kind of money that he wanted. You needed to see Ball production. And it wasn't even just, you know, the interceptions, but it was the way that he was attacking the ball, right? It was kind of better than a Kyle Fulber. It was the way that Kyle started to read wide receivers and get those cleaner jumps on the ball. And those things really made a difference. And I think you really got to give Hoke a tremendous amount of credit for the way that he's come around. And that's not to take away from Jalen, right? But
he's one of the best coaches on our entire staff, either side of the ball, Cars. And honestly, I don't think it's particularly close. Right.
And totally remember, but a lot of people were upset. It was like, oh, we got to retread. This isn't a great thing. And really look at the overall production. Like, you saw a lot out of Tyreek Stevenson this year. Kyler Gordon took a step. This was the best year for Jaquan Brisker, hands down. Terrell Smith, for where he was a good pick. Was really an impactful player. So I think you're absolutely right. I think at the end of this year, you're going to see Thomas Brown is going to be the other guy in the running for the best coach on this staff.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's a great thing. You know, it's when you look at this team and you've got four defensive backs now under the age of 25, all ascending as talented players. I don't know that there's a better young secondary in the NFL right now.
I would agree there wholeheartedly. And, you know, it even goes beyond the guys that you talked about. You know, Blackwell is a guy that they pulled off of Philly's team, and he's been an integral part of teams. And I honestly think, like, there's some upside there. Jalen Jones, another guy that is
Elijah Hicks really flashed quite a bit this last year as well. So yeah, I think that's a deep group. You know, when somebody goes down and somebody fills the void, there's always going to be a drop, but there's not as much of a drop as we've seen in years past, right? RW McCorders goes down and all of a sudden we're getting toasted everywhere. And so. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing too, Cars. And I mean, we're heading into this, you know, I don't want to call it a circus, but the shit is going to hit the proverbial fan here starting very, very soon in terms of the tampering period and then pro days, and the quarterback situation is going to become solidified. And, you know, we'll see where all of that goes. But the Bears have money to spend. There's some guys that are available that we didn't really expect to be out there initially. I don't think anybody was talking about Christian Wilkins being a free agent, you know, a month ago or maybe even 2 weeks ago at this point. There is, and I'll be honest, I talked about this last night, and I had a private convo with Dustin Reagan Padilla about it a little bit. I'm always a little more skeptical of opening the vault for interior guys,
especially ones that don't pop until year five.
Yeah. And so that's just something that I would keep in mind. I understand the thought process, because I look at him on the interior of that line, and you hear everybody say, you know, talk about being a multiplier. The day you sign Christian Wilkins, Javon Dexter becomes a better player. Montez Sweat becomes a better player. Tremaine Edmonds becomes a better player. Jalen Johnson, the whole Russian cover concept that everybody talks about, you want to win up front. You want to get to the quarterback with your front four. Christian Wilkins helps you do that. Now, is he an elite pass rusher himself? No, he's not, but he's going to be a guy that's going to help free others. It's just going to be very, very interesting. Now, is it going to be Christian Wilkins, or is it going to be Danielle Hunter? I'm fascinated to see how this goes, Cars. And again, everybody knows, you guys have been around us long enough at this point to realize the Bears right now at this point, they have two first rounders, a third rounder, and two fours. That's it. And the way
in a draft that really falls off the map somewhere in round four, right? Yeah. Like, Everybody got upset about the Bates signing. This is a terrible draft. Once you get out, like, I think we said the same thing last year. Once you get past 10 to 15, most of these guys going in round one aren't going to be round one. And some of the guys, like, early in round two would traditionally be round three guys. Like, this draft falls off quickly outside of the corner position, which is where the Bears are the deepest. So it's really problematic at a lot of different places.
And what I brought up last night with Phil and Cap on Keeping It 100, and if you haven't watched that, I suggest everybody take a peek at it. It was a great show. Had a lot of fun. Cap always brings it. When you have limited resources, and this is the thing. I saw Cap was on with Pat the designer, and everybody falls into the same trap. And I'm not picking on Pat the designer. He's fallen into the same thing that a lot of people have. You're assuming that if you go quarterback at number one, that you cannot accumulate draft picks. You also have number nine that you can trade down and accumulate assets. The Justin Fields trade, you're going to accumulate some more assets. So there's a pathway to all of this. And oh, by the way, if you go QB at number one, you can still build your fucking team.
Well, but again, there's not – we fall in love as fans with draft picks. And it's the old Family Guy episode, right? You go through a timeshare meeting and you get a boat. But you get to the end of that timeshare meeting and they're like, you can either take the boat or you can go take what's in the mystery box. And the mystery box could even be a boat, right? And it was the whole complaint about the Montez Sweat trade. This is not necessarily, and I think the Bears by the move for things like Ryan Bates really show you that they don't believe in the depth of this draft at all. And I think that's the move that plays it. And I'm glad that Phil is there so I can quickly shit on his F the Cap thing. You know, to pull back to your earlier comment about Christian, is the reason that Wilkins is available is that Miami mortgaged the future and is $19 million over the cap. They still have to make moves to get back under the cap. It's just like what we saw with Buffalo yesterday, making all of those releases of all of those players to get back under. When you make these moves with the hope of Tua taking a step and winning a Super Bowl, if you're not correct, you have to rip
right
down to studs. So the only reason Wilkins is available is they need to figure out a way to keep Williams and Hunt. And I don't think they can. And they definitely couldn't have if Wilkins was on the roster.
Yeah. Kyle Krabs does a podcast, NFL draft podcast with Joe Marino. They're former guys from Draft Network and kind of moved away and went over to the Locked On end of it. And they're doing a show. And Kyle Krabs is, started off as a Miami Dolphins fan, but he does Locked On Dolphins and is very much involved. He said right out blank that Chicago is going to be very much involved with Christian Wilkins. And he gave a top three. Chicago was not number one on the list that he expected to throw the bag at Christian Wilkins. Number one that he pointed out was Houston. And you look at the mode that they're in, they have a ton of money. They have a solidified quarterback that's in place.
I think they'll choose him over Greenard. And I think that's what Greenard comes to us, but we'll talk about that. I think that's a very fair assessment.
Yeah. And it's, you know, going to be very interesting to see where all that goes. But Cars, before we get into your slides here, I want to piggyback off what I said last night, because I think it's very relevant. And if you didn't get to see it, go watch it. But I'll just repeat myself again so you can hear it. So with your limited resources right now today, before a Fields trade, before any type of a trade down from nine, you have two ones, a three, and two fours. But you have a lot of cap space. Now you have less cap space now because of Jalen Johnson. But what do you do? Do you really want to invest in the running back market in the draft when you have limited assets there right now. So that's why I feel like you and I may be on different sides of the fence on this, but that's why I think that you're going to see them make a move for a running back.
So, I think you're right.
Right. And my thing with Ryan Bates is you make that move. Yes, you gave up an asset. You get him here in place. So now you control that asset. He can start on any place on the interior of your line, left guard, right guard, center. But what does he also do, Cars? He's under contract for this year and next year. And he does not, if somebody falls to you into the draft, like, oh shit, we weren't planning on him being here. Ryan Bates doesn't prevent you from putting the card in for a guy that falls into your lap. So that's the way that you have to play this. When we talk about this over and over and over again, that it's a poker game, it is. And this is, you want to set yourself up. They don't want to have to take a running back in the fourth round or even potentially the third round. We'll see how that is. So got a lot of stuff to get to and a lot of big days coming up. I think if we look out on the horizon, hopefully here very soon, Cars, some questions that have been looming will be answered and we'll see where that goes. But let's get into it, man.
No, I think you're right. And I think the first thing that is the place to start is to where we are in cap. So with Jalen under contract, we are at 53 players under contract. To your point, I think we're going to be, if what I'm hearing about the first year money out being around 28 million, 57 and a half was with him at the tag level. So if they add another 8 or 9 million, you're going to be talking around being at $49 billion. When we trade Justin Fields, most likely in the next 2 to 3 days, that will free up another
That's at Bears Nerd.
Yeah, that's at Bears Nerd. Yeah, we're just working this through. That'll save another $3.2 million. The average age, which has this eighth youngest team in the NFL, is 26 years old. And as you could see, four of the players, including Santos, are the only ones over 30. And I expect two of those names, Collins and Colbert, to be dropped. So you're going to see this team be kind of probably around 25 and a half-ish years old at the start. So when you look at all of this to go, you know, it really does start to take some of these names off. Yeah. Now, I will have them in a list, or a couple of them, because there's still potential. Because to your point, a Ryan Bates doesn't prevent you from going out and signing someone.
Yeah.
But what you are going to see is you're going to be outside of two positions really looking at, if you're looking at mid-tier kind of deals, right? Right.
And Cars, you know what I think? Just to stay on Bates while we're here. This isn't being a homer. We talked about him when the Bears signed him to the deal. I think he's being underrated by Bears fan because they're assuming that he's just Lucas Patrick.
And it's to their defense, right? Lucas Patrick wasn't supposed to be Lucas Patrick. And the center position has been such an afterthought. But I think, you know, when you look at the moves this team has made otherwise, whether it's identifying Darnell Wright or Braxton Jones, when he was healthy, I thought Nate Davis and mentally and physically played really well. The move that everybody shit on of taking Tevin and be like, now you're going to make him move to a third position. When he's healthy and they got more out of Tevin than any other group, you know, prior has done, they've really made some good decisions. So I think I'm going to give them a little credit here, but I can understand the angst. Everything is always well-deserved. Just like anybody that freaks out, we're going to destroy Caleb Williams when we draft him. I think everybody is going to do that. So when you look at kind of what's next, is all teams will kind of go through this process where you're going to look at your starters and even you'll do this even on the way through your reserves, but I didn't really want to focus too much on the reserves. And so you're going to start to do these things where you're going to color code these guys. You know, we used to see it on a 5-point scale.
Can I point out that I love you, Cars?
Yeah. For which one?
the first column, bottom, very bottom.
Very bottom. Yeah, I like that one as well, because that's a done deal. So look, you could see in the middle of the way what we do. So your blue chip are the guys who are top of their position group. It doesn't mean they're number one, but they're in that grouping of everybody is there. And so what I also start to do, though, is I start to put whether these players are ascending in there. So if you take a look at Braxton Jones, I have him as green today. I have him ascending. And I would put that his ceiling here is an orange. So the way you look at it, blue chip, above average, average to above is that green. And then I have that red, which sometimes people will go kind of five colors and they'll say below average and absolute trash, like, you know, a Sam Mustipher. But I wanted to combine all of those. So when you look at the left, you also see a Tevin Jenkins in red. So I consider him to be a blue chip guy, but his medical history is a concern. So one of the things that they're going to do is really just figure out where they have needs. And so what you can see from this, the most immediate needs are at tight end and wide receiver two and wide receiver three. Now you'll notice I have right now, because as the roster sits right now, wide receiver two is Tyler Scott. If he was in a wide receiver three position, he's green. But as a wide receiver two, you hate that move.
Totally agree there.
And then you look at the rest, right? Darnell Wright, kids are coming into this draft class already saying they're watching his pro tape. That tells you a lot. I think so. And you notice I call out a difference. I think Darnell is going to be a probable blue, and I think he can end that way this year. But just below here, Cole Kmet is still ascending. I still think he has the potential to be a blue chip. He's still one of the best all-around tight ends in the game, whether you want to admit it or not.
You
do.
I love balls.
Other people do not. And then when you look at the other side, you know, you see that you've got, to me, three blue chippers on defense without the flags. Now, you know, when we talk about Sweat, I don't necessarily think that he is dominating. When you talk about Christian Wilkins and is he really a dominant pass rusher? I think Sweat has some good moves. I wouldn't say that he's dominant.
Right. And no, he's not the top flight, you know, franchise. Yeah, he's a very integral piece. 100%. He's the best of what we have. But
and then to Eric's question here, yes, Eric, it does. So black is just kind of middle of the road. If they're white, the name means they're ascending. If they're red, it means it's medical concerns. So you'll see like Jaquan Brisker. I have both red and white because he's still not always healthy. He's always nicked up. I feel like every game we heard that he was in the medical tent for a little while.
Eric's looking for the key to what the colors mean. He said that you should put him in the graphic. He just hasn't looked at the center of his screen yet, I guess, Eric.
Love you, Eric. And then you've got others, right? So like, I expect Dexter Jr. to be an orange player during this next season. And I really think he's got that blue level. You look at guys like Billings and DeMarcus Walker. They're super good rotation guys. TJ Edwards, I don't know about you, Shane, way above what I expected this year.
100% Cars. Listen, if you go back to like literally a year ago at this time, when the Bears came out and they signed TJ Edwards, he was the first guy right out the gate because he was a local kid. I think he kind of, obviously he wanted to be here. He didn't get a great deal. What was it 3 for $18? Is that what it was?
Yep.
His deal. And the Bear, we all said, all right, there's the Bears signing at linebacker. And then, you know, an hour later, they bring in Tremaine Edmonds. But he went above and beyond everything.
Oh,
everything. Of he blew my expectations out of the water. Everybody's heard me talk about the Philadelphia Eagles here. My family members are mostly Eagles fans, and my brother-in-law is a rabid, like, he fits the mold of what you think for an Eagles fan. He was even pissed, you know, about it. He's like he was so much so good for us, and we let him go, and he goes, he gets to Chicago and he plays even better. But no, it's a fantastic signing, and I think league-wide he's disrespected for how well he played.
He's one of the better weak side backers in this game.
Totally, you know, agree.
I won't say that, you know, I always remember of Levante David and always being so good, but criminally underrated because of where he played and how few people really pay attention to Tampa, even though he was getting kind of Pro Bowl votes and things from players. It's along those lines. He did not. It's always, you know, everyone talks about the Tremaine Edmonds. TJ Edwards is playing the Roquan Smith position. And we got the same basic performance out of that. So when you look at this, right, what do you see? That defense, and I think nobody is going to be shocked here by this, that defense is much further along. They've spent more. I think spending on defense is 12th in the NFL, whereas offense is at 28th in the NFL. So, I mean, these things sort of line up. Now, you'll notice that a lot of the investment in draft picks and others have been on the offensive side in the ball. They've done some really good moves there.
Cars, do you think that will continue?
I think that will continue when it starts at number one. And then and then the pick that we get from when we trade Justin, that will also be another place here. But I digress.
Cars out here just dragging its nuts across people's foreheads. I fucking love it.
So, you know, this is the way we look at it. And when you kind of get into this, teams will do things along this line here of kind of graphing this. And they'll continue to do this for, you know, their subs. You know, like Ja'Tyree Carter is a green ascending sub. If they decide to move on from Nate Davis, it wouldn't shock me if he's the first person in line to move in and to take over that role. So when you look at that starts to define where the Bears are going to focus, both in the draft and free agency. And so, Shane, I think you and I are pretty much in agreement here. Wide receiver, you know, the team needs, and I kind of put these in order that I think is truly there. Now, the only reason I have free safety behind tight end is because I do believe that Elijah Hicks has shown you a lot, and you don't necessarily need to have five plus players there, but some of these could be moved around. But I really have wide receiver number two is the biggest need. You'll notice at two, I have it as defensive end or three technique. The reason I have that is it becomes a pass rush thing. I am a believer, and Sam, since we're dragging whatever Shane said, the reason I have QB not at number one is because I've already inked in Caleb Williams as our quarterback. So that's the only reason that we're going to do that.
And if you hear that whining in the background, that's a Justin Fields fan someplace.
Yeah. Every time I see that, another YouTube creator deletes his Twitter for a short period of time.
And that's why I'm drinking the official drink of the Chicago Bears QB1 here.
There we go. So the only reason I have that is Christian Wilkins is the only thing. I think it's going to be a defensive end because I really believe in the upside of Dexter, and it feels and comes across as the team does. So when we look at this and kind of go forward, especially when it relates to free agency, I think these are going to be the pecking order. And Shane, again, I'm not going to speak for you, but when we drive into the wide receiver group, I'm going to tell you pretty early that, well, let's just jump in. The first name that I have on this list to me is going to be a guy that we're going to go after first, and that's Gabe Davis.
I we we've talked about it, Cars, for a while. Cap brought it up last night, and here is the thing, and this is the key factor in all of this. If you sign Gabe Davis, it is a fantastic signing if he's your number three wide receiver. You cannot go into the season with DJ Moore and Gabe Davis as your two. And I'm not trying to take a victory lap here, but we talked about this and a lot of people didn't want to hear it a couple of years ago. Darnell Mooney had a good season and everybody, oh, he can easily be a wide receiver one. No, he can't. He was never a wide receiver one. And I hate to break the fucking news to everybody. Darnell Mooney's not a wide receiver two. Darnell Mooney is a good wide receiver three on a good team.
Yep.
For most places. It's just, and that is fine. If you come out of this and let's just say the draft falls the Bears way, and Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze is there at nine, and that's where they want to go, and they don't trade down, and that's who they have. Your wide receiver core goes from DJ Moore to Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze and Gabe Davis. Well, yeah, then you're cooking with gas. Then you have an issue for teams trying to game plan for you.
Well, and I think when you look at that, when you look at the left, you know, some of the things that get checked off. You want to see a younger player, right? The only one that I have here older is Calvin Ridley, because I think he's a fascinating story. But these other guys are 24, 25 years old. Gabe Davis is still incredibly young with what he's done. And yes, I understand that he drops the ball, but that man also is averaging something like 16 yards a catch for his career. Yeah. His size is a compliment to DJ Moore, because DJ is 6 foot and, you know, 210, and Gabe is 6'3 and 225. And so when I have it, like, think of him like a DK to Moore's Lockett. Doesn't mean that I think he's the same quality of player, but I think one of the things that became a bit of an issue in Seattle last year was that Lockett and JSN really overlapped each other. And
totally
so to make that change. And I think his speed is still going to be something. And the last point is just as important, which is guys need to be willing run blockers. And in Buffalo, he always has been.
Yeah.
I also have Juwan Jennings, who's a guy who I think,
if you go back to the draft when he was available, that was a dude that I remember Danny Shimon and myself were both pounding the table for. He's not a burner, but he's going to catch everything you throw to him.
And he's just another big body, right? So again, trying to differentiate. Last year, you had Mooney and Moore at similar size. You had EQ, who played to hit to their size. He didn't play as big as he was supposed to. You have, Tyler Scott played to that size. So you need to differentiate a little bit here. And I keep seeing it. I think the Bears will go after a Brian Thomas in the draft, like that type, or a Rome Odunze. I think his size is a better compliment. So I do think that that's happened, but I expect kind of one of these. The one out of the box, I don't really think it's necessarily 100% likely, because he is an ERFA, which means, you know, all he has to do is get extended an offer and New Orleans will keep him. But New Orleans is always in cap hell. It's neat. But Rashid Shaheed is a fun little gadget guy to go out and doubles over as a punt, in tremendous punt and kick returner. But he's another big play guy that he's not your two. He's not your three. He's a four, right, at best. But I think that's a guy that they may look at and say, hey, what can we do from New Orleans?
And he's improving your team speed. And again, it's been that way for a long, long time in Chicago. The overall team speed is lacking. And all you have to do is look at kickoffs and punts. And you see it all over the field, Cars. And, you know, the Bears always talk about being a team built on speed. You know, that even back to the Lovey days, they were – built on speed, and they made him play on a muddy track, you know, because that makes sense.
Well, and it was always the defense was built on speed. The offense has always been built on this plotting style of team. You know, like it's always been this, as much as I love Brandon Marshall, right? He wasn't ever going to blow anybody off the line. The last guy that you really had right. that top end speed was always Bernard Berrien or Johnny Knox, right? Yeah. That would do it. And then they get injured or they leave and we replace him with another 4-5, 4-6 guy.
Right. And so I'm glad Bear Truth brought this name up because this is the name Cars and Ryan Cox and Phil know my affinity for Brian Thomas Jr. This is a name that we definitely have to keep in the hopper, Bears fans, because number 9 is in play to be shipped no matter what. It's I really feel that way. If yeah. they can get some decent picks, Brian Thomas Jr. is going to there's honestly a chance, Cars, and I know a lot of people don't even realize this right now. There's a legitimate shot Brian Thomas Jr. is going in the top 15 anyway.
Yeah,
in this draft.
You would have to move kind of no longer lower than Las Vegas at 13 with them moving up for a quarterback for him to be in play.
But this is a guy that's very, very young, led college football in touchdowns, I think was 17. And, you know, somebody was talking about it. I don't know if it was on Sirius or someplace that I was listening to. They were talking about the kid from Texas that ran the Xavier Worthy that ran the 4-2-1. And they said that was super impressive. But what's more impressive, running a 4-2-1 at 170 pounds or 165 pounds?
Or
Brian Thomas ran a 4.33 and he's 44 pounds heavier than Xavier Worthy.
And you make that kind of move because Thomas, as of right now, is much more raw in what we do. The comp for him is more DK without that ridiculous leaping ability that DK has that no one else will ever do. But you draft him because he won't be a number one because you've got more on the other side. Any team that drafts Brian Thomas to be a number one is going to have a steep learning curve.
Well, and this is the thing, but the upside is massive. Like you said, Carson, our guy Mo puts that in, you know, you have to change your perspective a little bit, Mo, because there's teams in the NFL, whether you want to believe it or not, that have Brian Thomas Jr. ahead of Rome Odunze.
Yes.
It's don't know how else to tell you. It's just a
and it's not a fact. It's not just a combine thing. It is a combine plus production. Yeah. This isn't a Mike Mamula, right, kind of thing. He's had college.
I don't. And I love Brian Thomas Jr. I don't have Brian Thomas Jr. ahead of a dude. I have Brian Thomas Jr. as far and away my wide receiver 4 in this draft, and that's fine. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that, you know, let's say that Gabe Davis prices himself out and the Bears strike out, then that to me pushes wide receivers. Then you're likely bringing in 2 in the draft.
I think you're adding 1 in the free agency and drafting 1.
Yeah. You have to bring in 2 either way. Yeah, if you get 1 in free, you still have to totally agree that they're adding 2 no matter what. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, they
the 2 places.
They have to. And again, and you're probably going to be on the same level for this. The reason that I don't have Brian Thomas there is Odunze to me can be a 1 coming in. May not be like a true 1, right? But
yeah,
he can be a 1. Neighbors can. Marvin can. Thomas can't. He can get there, but you've got a curve. Right. You've got 2 years till he's.
And this is the thing too, Cars, with Rome Odunze and guys like that, and fans get intoxicated. Listen, as soon as Xavier Worthy ran that 4-2-1, Cars, I texted you and said, there's going to be people that are, he's going to be in every Bears fan's mock draft that comes up now just because of that. And you can't do that. Rome Odunze is not a 4-3 guy, but what did he run? Like a 4-4-6? Mm-hmm. You know, at his size. Have fun beating him on a fade route. You know what I mean? In the end zone or on a jump ball. He is a perfect complement to DJ Moore, but anybody can complement DJ Moore. Like somebody send me things. We can't draft Malik Nabers because he's too much like DJ Moore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's DJ Moore with more explosion.
Shane, when the Rams won the Super Bowl,
yeah,
they had three Isaac wideouts.
Grusin. Yeah.
Well, no, right. even most recently with Kupp and Jefferson, oh, yeah, and yeah, that group. Yes, they were, to your point, they were all similar in stature, similar in size, but each of them had a different trait where they excelled at. This isn't anymore like you need to have Randy Moss at 6'4 and Chris Carter at 6', right? Like, and you need to have these differences. You can get around it. You do want someone on the roster to have a difference in their ability, but you don't need the number two necessarily to do it. And I think what I really think is going to be interesting is, this is a side note, I think the Chargers are going to be moving back in the draft.
Totally agree. Cars, there's legitimate talk out there that Arizona's top priority is to be the team that trades out to a team that wants JJ McCarthy. And for the first time in NFL history, it's going to go quarterback, 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 quarterback. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And that's going to be Minnesota. I'll tell you that right, yeah, now, that McCarthy is going to end up in Minnie, and he's going to go higher. He will go no longer lower than what the Giants pick 6th. That will, yeah, be right, most likely where,
no, I agree,
he will go no lower than that. But you're right, but, because wide receivers, as good as they can be for every Jamar Chase, you have a lot of guys who are very good but don't make that immediate impact early, because and Jamar Chase had some advantages because he had T. Higgins lined up on the other side, so you already had another weapon. If you go into New York, let's just use the Giants, or you go to Arizona, that those, yeah, teams have Jack else at the wide receiver position, yeah, and you're asking an awful lot. Marvin Harrison will probably do it. I think Malik Nabers will probably do it. I think Rome would struggle, and that's why I like him here, is because I think as a true two, he gets a, I think he can, will start to make a bigger impact later in the season, but those sorts of things really matter. So I think you're going to see Alt and Olu go earlier than people are having them now. And I do feel like there will be a wide receiver there at 9 for us, which would be the only reason we do not trade back.
Yeah, and you're going to know by, well, really pick 5 kind of what's going on. You know, Cap brought up last night, if you're in Cars, as much as this is against what I would do, because I don't have that much of a, where how I have these wide receivers stacked, I don't have that much of the, I know everybody's saying that Marvin Harrison is a bona fide Hall of Famer. I'm not getting into any of that nonsense, and I'm not a guy, I'm not one of those guys that's out there calling Caleb Williams generational. I think all of that shit is just bullshit, and I think that stuff is media driven. You can just be good at what you do, whatever. Cap brought up last night is what happens if at 4 Arizona drops out, and word is, like you said, that the Chargers also want to bounce. Mm-hmm. And they call Chicago, and Ryan Poles' thought process is, I can come out of this draft with the two best players available at quarterback and wide receiver.
Houston did it.
Well, and that's my point, and I brought that up with Cap. I would be hesitant, because you're giving up future assets. Obviously, you have that extra 2 next year with Carolina. I also don't feel like it's out of the realm of possibilities for Ryan Poles to be like, yeah, I can come away from this draft with the two best players available in the whole fucking thing.
Oh,
after night one.
You don't listen, you don't miss those opportunities. And the reason I say that is, you know, you look at Houston and how they did it. And yes, it was a need position of a pass rusher, you know, like linchpins. But one of the things that I think gets lost in this, and I sort of tweeted about the other day, is an average offensive lineman has a greater impact than an average wide receiver.
Yeah.
But the way the league is right now, an elite wide receiver is better and more important than an elite offensive lineman. Sacks were up all over the place last year. Defensive lines have a massive advantage when it comes to that. So how do you counter? How is San Francisco countered with a below average in a lot of places offensive line? They just so happen to have, you know, a great combination of Ayuk and Deebo Samuel that really make it, do you want to take this chance? Do you want to blitz? Because if you do, you're going to have those two guys and George Kittle destroying you with Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. So let's just talk about the scenario we're in. Caleb dropping back. You and I have talked earlier. I don't think Saquon is in the mix, but I do think Josh Jacobs is in the mix. You got Josh Jacobs. You had DJ Moore. Let's just say it's Malik Nabers. And you've got Cole Kmet. Do you think you're going to see as many blitzes out of that?
Hell no.
Hell no. And so you're going to take
not with blitzes. A quarterback, not with a quarterback that's got a lightning release and that has his head on a fucking gimbal the entire time.
I mean, it's
especially and with the weapons. Yeah. On top of it.
And the thing is Cincinnati, when they were faced with this, right, as great as Penei Sewell is, they made the right pick. They went to the Super Bowl because of that pick with a below average trash offensive line. And I hate to break it, and if nobody saw my Twitter rampage the other day, you folks that sit down and say the line is garbage and you need to upgrade, I hate to break it to you, it's not as bad as you think. The line, when you look at differences and the way that Justin's drop back and those things, his methodical drop back really negatively impact pressure percentages and how pressure turns into sacks. Those things are going to look so much better when you've got a quarterback that can play in time on time better. So while I do say that Alt would be an upgrade over Braxton, you cannot convince me under any circumstances if the Bears are sitting there and it is Malik Nabers and it's Alt or Olu, the Bears would rush to the platform to draft one of the wide receivers.
They're taking Nabers.
And it's done.
They would take Nabers. I have all myself ahead of Nabers. But that's, like I said, it's... You're right. They would draft Malik Nabers. I'm just saying that I have all ahead.
As a prospect.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't, because I have Nabers right there along with Marvin as a wide receiver. But I think, you know, I think Braxton gets too much shit. And I think Justin doesn't get enough shit. But if does Cincinnati make the Super Bowl if they have T. Higgins and Penei Sewell? And I think the answer is no. I think you don't make that without Jamar Chase. And so that's the way that these teams look. Look, last year, Kansas City won a Super Bowl with Travis Kelce as really their only consistent guy. Their free agent signings on the offensive line were not great. They did not work out very well. So when you go through all of that and you look at that, there are still things you can do to make these plays happen. Detroit has an incredible offensive line at both tackle spots. They still couldn't work because outside of Amon St. Brown, they're not afraid. So the way the NFL looks, when you look at best player available, there is a positional bias. And so to Shane's point, while Alt for some may be a better prospect, the position of need, especially when you're looking at Braxton being an average to above average left tackle versus Tyler Scott as your number two wide receiver, even if you sign great Gabe Davis or any of those names, the improvement from Nabers or Odunze or Brian Thomas over Gabe Davis is significantly bigger than Alt over Braxton.
I hear you, man. What you got next?
So, good thing that we wanted to do this for 3 hours, right? That's always good. So next, we're going to talk about pass rush. So again, I put these as the same because, again, this is really, to Shane's earlier point about Wilkins, is this is more of a pass rush need. So where are we going to generate that pass rush from? I still maintain that they're way higher than most people think on Dexter as a three technique. And I think the way he closed out the season played a lot to it. But you have Wilkins in there because guys like him necessarily don't become available. I think Greenard is going to be the one that's there. He's another guy that's like Sweat, where he's not a perfect pass rushing guy. He's got moves, he's got some counters, but he's got a good motor. He is really good in the run defense as well. He's got a powerful first step. He's very good there. And I think when you look at that, that's going to be the move because of their belief in Dexter.
Does it give you any reservation on that, Cars, that they have so much money available that they're letting him walk?
No.
I mean, when they have a Will Anderson. I mean, I know the answer to it, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. But I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
No, because I think the way that Ryan's looks at a defense is different. And if they had a Dexter Jr. in the roster, I think that's a move that you keep anyway. Like if they had Dexter, they would be signing Greenard, but their interior line is kind of shoddy at best. And so I think he's looking at it like they used to with, you know, why they drafted Kinlaw and others when they're trying, and when they've had their, you know, the DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead in the middle type of positions, that yeah. That's what they're really looking to do. So I think it just becomes that they want better mix there. So there's I understand the question, but that's my take. What do you think of that take,
though? No. I kind of expected that that's where you were going to go, but I think that there's probably people out there that you're like, oh, you know, Houston's got a ton of money. They have Will Anderson. You guys are talking, you said that, you know, they're in play to sign Christian Wilkins, and you know, Kyle Krabs brought that up, but I just kind of wanted to throw, you know, be devil's advocate a little bit there just to see, you know, what your thoughts were on that. I agree with you overall. I do. And I know Phil's a big Greenard a fan also, but it's going to be interesting, man, because Flus being this cover two guy, and
it tells you where they think of Dexter, which way they go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the where did Dexter shine more was in pass rush versus run blocking. So, I don't really disagree with you, but I just feel like, I don't know. I think they're bigger on that upside on that kid, and they're going to bet on that and that getting more unlocked this time. But the other three names that are just below that, Bryce Huff, I think, is an interesting name. Gross Matos is a guy who I think played much better the second half of this past year. He's been a little slow, but he's still 26 years old. And Ryan Cox mentioned this guy, or you know, in our vaunted text chain. But Ibaneza in Buffalo, when you're talking about seven sacks at 36% of the available defensive snaps, that's some performance.
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily a starter where I think you could say that any of the other guys on this would be a consistent starter. AJ to me strikes me more as like a DeMarcus Walker type, where he's a great rotation guy. But I think that's the other part of this. If you get Greenard and all of a sudden Walker is a rotation guy, kind of like what we talked about last year with Justin Jones. If he's a rotation guy, you're really in a good spot. So next is a tight end group. There's only one name, two, because, you know, everyone who's been on this network or watched me on this network knows that I love Jesper Horsted irrationally. So that will never stay or never go away. But Noah Fant is a guy who would be a really good complement to what Cole does. Good speed, offers a different skill set. Brock Bowers is really, you know, a would be another guy that I think the Bears would consider at nine, but I don't see them necessarily drafting him. But Fant would be that type, not the same quality, not the same skill level, but I feel like, you know, Noah would be everything that we wanted our tight end room to be, that we wanted Tanyan to be last year. I have them here because in the instance that they strike out with a Gabe Davis, or some of the other names, maybe we simplified too much in saying that they need two wide receivers. They need two pass catchers, whether it's from the draft or the wide receiver room, or free agency or both. I think Fant would make a whole lot of sense here.
Yeah. And well, I know this is free agency driven, but just draft wise, I know that the Bears are high on the kid from K-State, Sinnott.
Yeah. And I think they're high on the kid from Texas too, whose name is escaping me. So
Sanders.
Sanders, yes. So, but what do you know about those two? Those guys are very similar to that style of guy because Cole Kmet is a fantastic, well-rounded person, like a well-rounded tight end. To me, he is at now that Mark Andrews type level from what we've seen. So to get someone that differentiates and becomes a chess piece, even though he wasn't used a ton in Seattle, part of that was because he had two really good wide receivers and a third that was demanding the ball more. So that's that. You know, when it comes to free safety, it's a terrible group. And by that, I mean it's old.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we talk a lot about, I think Xavier McKinney being here is kind of the same level of shock to me as Christian Wilkins being there. Not that he's this tremendous player, but he's a guy that you're New York, like your defense sucks. He's a young kid. He's still 25. He's still ascending. He's really played pretty well on a defense that is lacking a lot of talent. I don't understand that move. And I think it'd be a really nice thing for the Bears to go in and swoop in and pick up a player like him.
Totally agree, Carter. If they're going there, that's the guy that you go for. And I bring it up and he's not even 25 yet, correct?
I thought he's 24 and a half. He'll be 25 during the season.
During the season. But if you look at Ryan Poles, where, you know, in free agency, where did the big money go? To Tremaine Edmonds, who was, 24 at the time that they signed him, and then 25 in season. It's exactly the blueprint that you use. It's a guy that you're planning on being here for the next 4 to 5 seasons. And you have one piece right now for that secondary to finish it off.
Yeah.
To let those guys all grow together. Because right now, the oldest player on your team, in your secondary right now, is 24. Everybody's 24 and under.
Can you imagine, though, Shane, if you go in next season with McKinney back there?
Yeah.
And he and McKinney plays a lot of deep center, but he also plays in the box. And what did Brisker do? He played some in deep center and in the box. So you have completely kind of chess pieces. And if you do that, let's just say you do that and Greenard, that you've got pass rush, you've got coverage everywhere. That defense, there would be no excuses for Eberflus with that defense. And so, yeah, would I rather see them invest in offense? Absolutely. Do I think that they're done making moves to trim the cap? No. Do I think they're going to extend some people to then try to eliminate those cap numbers now? Absolutely. Do I think Tremaine Edmonds is one of those guys? Yeah, I think he might get an extension. I could see a TJ Edwards 1 or 2 year extension where they elongate that cap out a little bit to save some more room so that they could be more aggressive. None of these guys are going to break the bank. None. This isn't going to be like Edmonds last year. You're not going to break the bank.
Right.
Those days are done, but these are really solid guys.
Yeah. So I was looking at the expected market value, and that's what Spotrac is looking at. 5 and 52, essentially. Yeah. So it's about 10 and a half a year for Xavier McKinney, and that would fall right in line. And oh, by the way, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of this, that's about a $4 million savings to what you were paying Eddie Jackson.
Yeah.
Because he was around 14, correct?
Yep. 14 and a half, I think is what it was.
So that's the way that you have to look at it. And again, if you're going to... Us as a network and everybody else that has been pounding the table that Caleb Williams is the reason, you can't sit here and talk about resetting the financial clock and then not use the finances in places. You have to spend. This is when you do it.
It's going to be quantity over necessarily quality. Not meaning you're going to get bad quality, but you're going to see more names and that money spread out a little bit. That's why they took that hit on Jalen Johnson's contract in year one, so that the future years there is more cap flexibility. Again, the fuck a cap method, we are not there, but it does show you what the team believes. And last but not least, Shane, in the last group, you know, this is really depth. I know the reports are that Bates is going to be center, but I really do feel like that's still something that could change. To your point, his money isn't going to stop you from doing anything.
Do you throw a deal to Connor Williams, even though you know you have to wait?
Yeah.
I think that is a wise move that buys you time. And then when he's back, healthy, ready to go, then it just makes your overall offensive line better because you have Bates that it can back up all three spots. And that is valuable.
Yep, absolutely. And I think when you look at that, if you combine that with the other two moves below, right? Like if you do Onwenu or Hunt as a guard, and let's say you move on from a Nate Davis and take a little bit of a cap hit to do that, but you get young, you get athletic, you get Hunt looked terrible as a tackle.
Yeah.
He looked really good as a guard, right? I mean, Connor Williams came in as a tackle, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And moved to center. So, I mean, to that point, you've got all this flexibility here, Shane. But those are the places I expect. We didn't cover running back because, again, I think, and Shane and I were talking this a little bit before the show, I don't think you're going to see big money go out. I don't think you're going to see
none of these running backs in free agency. There's big names, but Cars, you and I talked a bit, you know, pre-show, and there's big names out there, and you're still going to see guys with 1 year deals.
Oh, I think both Barkley and Josh are getting 1 year deals. Barkley, because the tread on the tires and his inability to stay healthy is always going to be those things. It's my biggest concern with Tevin. I hate my least favorite asterisk on any player is when healthy.
So Carey's recovery is not going well, but I'm not sure if I'm going to put him on the same athletic level as Connor Williams. We love you, Carey. I had to bust your balls there, buddy.
This was almost too nice of a show. We didn't take a shot at much of anybody, so it had to happen. But they are difficult. So I think, you know, I'm really looking forward here to seeing what happens. So when Justin gets moved in the next couple of days, we start seeing some other, you know, rumblings, it's really going to be exciting quickly. But don't expect the Cushenberry 4 year, $48 million contract.
I agree.
Don't expect any of those things. One, there aren't a lot of teams that have a ton of cap space. And the ones that do, I don't think are going to spend
a whole lot. Cars. And I think this is the point that we've fallen into. I think Ryan Bates has been undersold as a player. And I also think at the same time, Cushenberry has been overrated because it's been such a need for Chicago.
Well, and Cushenberry, how did he look his first couple of years?
Yeah, horrible.
It is something like that. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And where was the one? Dr. Horror Show. There's a lot of smoke out there saying that Houston is all in there. on Barkley, and that Barkley also wants Houston. So,
well, I mean, when you can go from Devin Singletary
yeah.
to, you know, anything, I think that's a big win. And they are an offense with Slowik that really does, you know, does sort of want that bell cow back. So it would, him and Dameon Pierce would be a fantastic,
oh yeah,
fantastic duo.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Let me get over here to the super chats. Our guy Cody Hahn, just because I love this nerdy fucker, keep up the good work. Hope to see some more car shows here and there when you're free, my dude. So thank you, Cody.
Yes, thank you, Cody.
Our guy that's always involved, Mr. ACL himself, Kerry Franklin, $20 in honor of the super chat being open. And JJ signing on to Pohl's plan of winning a Super Bowl very soon. Bear down. Love it. Thank you, Kerry Franklin.
Yes, thank you, Kerry. Good luck on that ACL. Let me know when you're ready to start doing pad work.
We need a 40 time once you're ready to go.
Just, and I need it to be as close to accurate. So I don't want this unofficial time. I need someone to say.
We're going to have a live airing of the Kerry Franklin versus Angelo Joe Marino 40 on TTNL.
This will be up there with the Rich Eisen one. Yeah, can't wait
absolutely.
For it.
Kafalo 84 is busting out the big dollar bills.
Wow,
great show, guys. I have a question. If Caleb is the guy, how soon do you think we will see evidence of this? And what will that look like to you? Ultimately, if he truly is the guy, he could significantly elevate the performance of many players on the team. And Cars, I'll start it. I think you see it immediately. And it, to me, it's very, very simple. I cannot get over the release, Cars, and it's a massive separator for me. It really is. I think you're going to see slant passes in this offense, and we've been screaming for it forever. Why couldn't you do it this past year? Well, that guy's probably going to get traded. That's one of the main reasons. As simple as that sounds, and I know that's going to piss people off, and it is what it is, but go ahead, Cars. What do you think?
No, I think if you look at kind of what happened with CJ Stroud last year, where you see flashes early, and then you really, as the season moves on, you get to about week 5, week 6, and I think it really starts to just show. You know, like when you looked at what Stroud did early, it wasn't that he was bad. I mean, he threw for almost 400 yards the second week, right, against an Indy defense. But I think you really are going to see this, and I think the things like having DJ Moore and a Cole Kmet and the other wide receiver that we pair him up with are tight end, and a better line, and kind of, again, I say this, I love the Shane Waldron hiring. I think it's a very good move. But the one name we should not be sleeping on in this offensive room is Thomas Brown. Yeah. And I say this because he's kind of this linchpin of, hey, this looks really cool, but it's not going to work. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's communicate. Let's do this.
And he was in the room.
Yes.
At the combine.
This dude is a future superstar head coach. I don't know, just from the way he carries himself, everything. And so when you look at that and you go look at what happened with Stroud, with Slowik, who was a first time OC in the league, and how he did fairly, very well early, I really feel like you're going to see him just start at a high place and just keep inching forward. I would love to say, you know, I think he sets all the records his rookie year. Maybe not touchdown passing. That'll be the tricky one, because Kramer's number is pretty good. And you look at what Stroud did. Like, he only threw 23 for the season. But I think this is a kid that's going to come in and throw 3,900 and 25-ish touchdowns, especially if you have the wide receiver core that we think they will. So I always break the season into quarters, you know, like just like a football game. And I think that throw out that first game because teams are trying everything.
It's the passing game coordinator, Kerry.
It's really what that is OC in training. Passing game coordinators are basically what used to be quarterback coaches. So now the progression tends to be quarterback coach, passing game coordinator on. But Thomas Brown has also been running game coordinator. He's a former running back from Georgia. When you read about him and the impact he had in LA and the way he sees things and the way he communicates, this is the best offensive staff that we have ever had. And right. And that's both a low bar, but also really impressive.
I know we're going to try to stay out of the quarterback talk, but our guy, Ben Ricketts, Shannon Carr's, when do you think Fields will be moved, sooner the better or right before the draft? Which to you has the most leverage? I think it's happening very soon.
As close to the start of the NFL season. I'm not joking.
He doesn't mean the NFL season in September.
Yeah, sorry.
He means the opening of the new league year, which is officially on Wednesday.
Yes. So I think 2 to 3 days here, because very similar to when the Jets got rid of Sam Darnold, what ends up happening is we keep hearing that Atlanta's owner wants Kirk Cousins, but that the coaching staff is more enamored with Justin Fields. And this is one of those things where the owner wants to win now and is oblivious to the fact that, sure, the Atlanta Falcons can go ahead and win the NFC South, but that's as far as they're getting because they're not there. And so the reason I think that's going to happen is one team is going to get cold feet. Yeah. That they're not going to get Kirk Cousins. And I don't think Russell Wilson factors into this as much because of his age. And his performance isn't the same. It just really, it really stepped
you
down.
You brought it up. Do you see him being a fit with Mike Tomlin?
No.
I just don't either.
That Broncos country let's ride shit would not. Yeah. Low. And
right, exactly. Ryan Cox brought it up today, Cars, with you and I. As soon as that news broke about him, you know, talking to the Steelers, and that's the poker game with Chicago. Hey, we're talking to this guy. You better accept our offer, or we might go here.
Can you imagine those wide receivers with Russell Wilson? Like, one of them wanted to kill Kenny Pickett. The other one wanted to kill Mason Rudolph. They're not going to get along with this guy. He is such a problem mentally with his way of how crazy it is. I think it is a move to try to say, like, fine, we'll just sign Russell. And if you're the Bears, you're going, okay, go ahead. Like, fine. If you want to do it. Now, the wrench to me is I think Kirk Cousins should go to Pittsburgh. That would be my play if I were him, because they're built way better to win now than Atlanta is. But from all reports, it sounds like he's been looking into homes and everything in the Atlanta area, so that might be out.
Yeah, well, wifey might win out there. That's where his wife is from.
Yeah. So, I mean,
where it is. But just, real quick, just to answer this, because this has been asked 1,000 times, and I'm sure he just hasn't seen it. The Instagram post that had Justin Fields jumping up and down had absolutely 100% nothing to do with the trade. If you go to that Instagram post and actually read it, there was a title to that video. They were reenacting of what guys on special teams did at their home games right before kickoff. That's what he was reenacting. And so, it's not some, super sleuth, oh, this dude's been traded already and all of that. I mean, what would be if there was a trade agreed to, what are you gaining by not announcing it? Ryan Bates' trade was announced. It doesn't have anything to do with the trade.
Yeah, and I want to I would be really shocked. Shocked isn't even a strong enough word. There's no way they're keeping him in the division at all. Like that's not going to be a move that's made. It's just not. I think they're, and he doesn't fit the mold of an O'Connell quarterback.
That's why they want JJ.
That's to your point. That's why they're the team that I think is going to move up to the 4, 5, or 6 is Minnesota with the intent of drafting JJ McCarthy.
Totally agree there, man. I do think that they are the team that's on the move, and
well, they've got to do something because otherwise Justin Jefferson is going to sit down and be like, get me the hell out of here.
He may do that anyway.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
nobody I think talks enough about how poor of a roster construction that is. And if in this offseason you go lose Kirk Cousins and you lose Danielle Hunter, which I mean, they're going to, what are they going to hang their hat on? Who is the centerpiece, is the best player outside of Justin Jefferson, Christian Darrisaw?
Yeah. And the other team that really is head over heels with for JJ that would have to make a sizable move up, but they're in so much financial trouble, they're going to have to live with their draft picks is Denver.
Oh,
where it is that Sean Payton wants Caleb Williams, but there's zero probability for that to happen.
Who do they have that you would want?
I mean, it's Sertan is that's where anything is going to start with, but
you don't trade a quarter.
Non-starter, right? No, I get it. Quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
And I'm going to, cause I'm feeling feisty. Jeremy, that's incorrect.
Nope.
It is not all the players we can get back from him. Yeah. I hate saying it like that, but it is not at all correct.
The quarterback,
if you get it right, it makes players better. So you don't need to get more players. Anytime that you're sitting down and saying, hey, if we just get 6 more guys, if we get 2 more wide receivers, 2 more offensive linemen and a partridge in a pear tree, and you know Justin will look good, what happens when one of those guys goes? Yeah. It's the release and all of those things. And Jerry Jeudy, God,
No. Mo, he might be free.
He's gonna be free.
Yeah.
Because badly they have managed that cap. So it wasn't Peyton's fault that they did this, but the fact that Denver made that trade and then instantly signed Russell Wilson to a mega, mega contract is the greatest thing that ever happened because Judy's gone.
Go so, Cars, just real quick, not to step on you, but friend of the show, Matt Waldman, and one of his good friends, Cecil Lammy, is tweeting out, since we're talking about Russell Wilson, I have been told that Russell Wilson is very open to signing with the Las Vegas Raiders, and he is being advised by his people to do so. The Broncos very well could be facing their former quarterback 2 times per year.
I can't wait for Raiders Nation. Let's ride. Like, what are we going to be doing? It's terrible.
Slots and hoes. Let's ride. You know, that's welcome to Vegas.
But I think that's really it. I think you're going to see. And sorry to go back to Denver, but thank God they signed Mike McGlinchey, for that ridiculous contract, even though they could get out of it in a few years.
Thank God it wasn't us. I mean, I was worried sick. Cars, you think about the far-reaching ramifications. I mean, look at the Russell Wilson potential trade that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy tried to leave us with. And then you look at that, you go out and you sign the offensive lineman that Denver ended up, like you said, then you're not drafting Darnell Wright.
Oh, I mean,
if you sign McGlinchey in free agency,
the way that this team is set up right now, like when you Denver
absolutely zero.
The second you release Russell Wilson, they're going to be negative $62 million. They're going to be $62 million over the cap.
And the funny part about it is, Cars, he signed a $250 million extension that didn't even start until 2024. He hasn't even played under that extension yet.
And that's
think about that. It's bonkers.
And they what else did they do? They overpaid Zach Allen. Yep. They overpaid who was the other defensive tackle guy that we were looking at? Defensive end from Draymond Jones.
Yeah, I went to Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was Seattle. I don't know why I say that. You know, they've got Cortland Sutton is big there. Ben Powers is a $15 million a year guy.
Yeah.
They'll cut Jerry Jeudy. They won't save any money because his cap number will be flush.
Yeah.
Like they have sat down when your highest played players are Russell Wilson. And once you cut him, Garrett Bowles at 20, Zach Allen is going to be making $19 million next year.
Yeah.
McGlinchey's 18 and a half. Cortland Sutton is going to be 17 and a half. Tim Patrick, 15 and a half.
Yeah.
Ben Powers, crazy. 15 and a half. Jerry Jeudy, 12. DJ Jones, $13 million. When you're going to be negative $62 million in cap space, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you 3 years to dig out, 2 to 3 years to dig out.
Right. And this is the last quarterback one. And like I said, I'm not going to go back and forth. We wanted to kind of stay out of this, but Jeremy, that's not true at all. We've debated that, we've beaten this dead horse, 100 times over.
We have resuscitated the horse, killed it, resuscitated it.
We are all in agreement here that there's simply just a better option available based on what we've seen on tape. My final question here to anybody that wants to defend Justin Fields as the quarterback, got to get him more help, better offensive line, got to give him Marvin Harrison Jr. On tape, his issues that he showed at Ohio State are still prevalent today in the NFL. And so what's the difference? At Ohio State, he was surrounded by five stars at wide receiver, at tight end, and on the offensive line, and however you feel about Ryan Day, if he was getting the proper coaching. He still has the same issues year three heading into year four. And, oh, yeah, you have to make a $25 million commitment May of this year for him moving forward. And if you're not drafting Caleb Williams, you want to build with Justin Fields, it's not the fifth-year option. You're giving him a $200 million-plus extension. Those are just stone-cold facts.
Well, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I think the bigger thing is so many of us have shit on Kirk Cousins, right? And said, he's not Mr. Primetime. But isn't it telling that a 35-year-old guy coming off a torn Achilles who is not going to be a long-term guy is the domino to fall before Justin? I understand that you have to trade a draft pick, but what have we kind of said? This is not really the deepest draft. Teams all over the leagues have basically said, this isn't a great draft at all. And the fact that you can't get people to trade a second round pick for a 25-year-old quarterback who, if you want to, again, Carolina, when they did this, they instantly approved his fifth-year deal when they did this for Sam Darnold. But if the point is that a 35-year-old guy who's a 2 to 3 year window guy off a torn Achilles is a bigger focus for teams than a 25-year-old guy that you could play for the next decade, and you're trying to tell me that teams would rather take 2 or 3 years of Kirk Cousins than pay a second round pick for Justin Fields, that is why you move on. That is it.
And Caleb Williams is a better prospect. Caleb Williams comes into the NFL day one. If the draft was tonight and he was in Chicago tomorrow on the field, he is a more progressed passer today than Justin Fields is heading into year four. He is. Just based on mechanics on tape cars. The release, it's, but it is what it is. I don't want to make this a quarterback show, and it's,
we've done it enough, but still, I think that's just the way you look at it. You have to. This is a league that if you have the quarterback right, you are going to win. And if you think that the Bears have failed this person and you can go ahead and do that, then yeah, you're going to go offer a second for Justin and take it to the bank and laugh about it. Laughing. And you get a steal at that point if you believe in him.
What would I do if I was Atlanta? I'd give up my second round draft pick for Justin just to see where it went before I'm giving Kirk $50 million a year. That's me.
Especially when you look at, again, Atlanta, who is a team that has $40 million in cap space right now. And it's a 26 average team age is, again, 26. So they're a young team. They're not built to win now. And the fact that they really desperately want a 35-year-old on a torn Achilles to come play on AstroTurf in a dome.
Doesn't it seem like that's very much owner-driven?
Oh, it's a bad owner. All the reports have been the coaching staff would rather have Justin and do exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you could pair Justin Fields with Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, a pretty solid offensive line overall. That's pretty young.
Yeah. And they got a nice back. They got two nice backs down there.
Algier as well.
Yeah.
But you'd rather have 35-year-old Achilles tendon playing on turf Kirk Cousins. That's it. That's game over. I'm sorry. At no point, if you ask 32 teams who they would rather have, Caleb or Justin, 32 teams are going to tell you it's Caleb. That's it.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, we're going to get out of here, Cars. Let's give them a little breadcrumb. Call your shot right now. Justin Fields is a quarterback for what team in 2024?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I would co-sign you there, my friend.
My sleeper pick, though,
I know where you're going.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. That's a great thought. I mean, it makes sense. I totally understand it. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be some breaking news tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe there'll be another pop-up show. If there's news, we'll try and be there. Yeah, we'll be there. Love you guys. Thanks for showing up for this unscheduled Cars Keys episode. But
that's a lot of fun
this year. Yeah, it was. I had to drag Cars. I had to beg Maisie to let Cars do the show tonight, and she let us do it. But
She beat me into submission. So,
you know, now that we're smarmy assholes, let's close out this show the only perfect way we should close it out. Love you guys. We'll see you later. And here we go.